So we're going to talk about Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And let me read it for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Oh, man. You know, another thing is if you're a pastor of a church and Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 is up, you cannot miss this. This is the good stuff, right? This is, we're going to jump into something that, man, this is the just the meat of God's word. It is the dessert of the word, let me tell you. So we're going to jump into it. But would you pray with me as we do so? Heavenly Father, as we unpack this verse, Lord, I pray that you would give us spiritual wisdom to understand what you are saying. Father, I know that oftentimes we approach your word with our own experiences and with our own thoughts and how we think you should do things or how we think we should do things. Father, I pray that we could push pause on all that. Father, we want to leave with the absolute truth of the word of God this morning. And Father, I pray that it would change us. I pray that we would be a people so impacted by your word that whatever we were going to do will be influenced now by Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Father, would you speak this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So what exactly is grace? Because it says we have been saved by grace through faith. So we have to understand what grace is. So I looked up a couple of things on grace and I found grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it. So you did not deserve it, but God gave it anyway. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. You with me? Grace is fundamentally a word about God. It's his uncoerced initiative and his extravagant demonstration of his love, care, and favor. See, grace is all about God. We didn't deserve it, we shouldn't get it, and he gave it to us anyway. Grace is the most important concept in the Bible, the most important concept in Christianity and in all of the world. It is most clearly expressed in the promises of God, revealed in Scripture, and embodied in Jesus Christ. So we are stepping out into this verse this morning, and we're going to talk about grace, but we have to understand it is the most important concept in the Bible. C.S. Lewis was attending a religious conference, and he arrived a little bit late, and he got there just in time to see that there was this argument happening on the discussion floor, and people were getting angry, and they were trying to decide what separated Christianity from everything else. And one said, it's the resurrection. And another said, no, but other religions talk about that. And they said, well, it's one God. And another said, no, there's other places that talk about that. And they were going back and forth to try to determine what it was that separated Christianity from everything else. And C.S. Lewis sat down. He said, what's everybody fighting about? They said, well, we're trying to decide what separates us from everybody else. He said, easy, grace. And that is so true. Every other religion talks about works. Every other religion talks about earning something. Every other religion has something that you're responsible for. But only Christianity is because God decided to unmerited favor give you the love that he passed upon us and lavished on us, even when we didn't deserve it, grace. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay, this is called a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's called a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, this is called an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can't win a prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, this is God's unmerited favor. This is grace. So grace, what's interesting too is, as I think about this, is there's a component here where grace and faith are together, right? It says, for grace you have been saved through faith. And faith is defined this way: the confident trust and reliance upon Christ Jesus. And by that only is the way in which you can obtain salvation. Hebrews 11:1 says this: now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So grace through faith is how we're saved. And faith is a confidence in something. My favorite Bible or sermon illustration of all time, I'm sure you've heard it. I'm gonna share it with you this morning. As a gentleman falls off a cliff, but as he's falling, he grabs a hold of a plant. And he's hanging there and he says, help, help, is anyone up there? And the Lord responds, he says, this is me, God. Do you trust me? Yes, Lord, I do. I trust you. I believe in you. He says, well, then let go. And the guy thinks about it for a second. Is there anybody else up there? See, what's interesting is faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, it's the confidence in what we hope for. So we're saved by grace. This is what God has given for us. But it's a confidence in that grace. So by grace through faith, saved by grace. And then it goes on in verse 8 to say, and this. And if you take a look in the Greek, and this is talking about grace and faith together. Grace is a noun, faith is a noun, and both of them are a gift from God. You know what I love about that? You didn't contribute to any part of that. This is going to separate us from every other religion in the world. There's no contribution required on your part. You are saved only by grace through faith. And this, meaning both grace and faith together, is a gift from God. You know, yesterday, B and I had a very unusual Saturday morning off. And I saw that she went to work cleaning right away. And there's one thing about my wife is she'll clean all day if you let her. And I felt really bad because I took two naps yesterday. And it's funny because the Lord, I knew this sermon was coming up. And, you know, we get accustomed to this works mentality, don't we? And as I was sitting there, I just thought, man, Lord, thank you for a wife like Bea that's working and doing all this. I had two jobs. I had to take out the trash and I had to hang up the clothes. And I did those, and I was just sitting there and thinking, Lord, I need to tell my wife that we're saved by grace, not by works. But by the grace of God, I didn't say anything. But that brings us to verse 9, right? Grace through faith, and this is a gift from God. Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that you may boast. Not a result of your works. I have a question. What must God think about our idea of earning salvation? I mean, it seems ridiculous on the surface, right, that you could earn salvation. So why do you keep doing it? And I'm pointing the finger right back at me too. We say we don't have to earn salvation, and yet we always think that way. We think if we read our Bible enough, or we pray enough, or we just do good enough, right, we're going to earn our salvation. You can always tell, because when you do that thing that you don't want to do, you feel distant from God. What do? You try to go right back to earning your way right back into his favor. See, you do try to earn your salvation. But what it talks about right here is verse 9 is there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. It was a gift from God. Right? We already said if you worked for it, he'd pay you a wage for it. Or if you competed for it, then you'd get a trophy for it. Right? Or if it was some recognition of all your life of attendance in church and Bible reading and prayer, then that would be some sort of acknowledgement, kind of like a gold watch at retirement. But that's not it. You cannot earn salvation in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And yet we still try. so that none may boast. What in the world could we have contributed to the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross? Not a thing. John 19:30, when he said it was finished, what exactly did he leave unfinished that requires us to work towards it? No, it's done. It's completed. The work of salvation was complete. You know, we see, though, this benefit of works in our lives. We see it in our relationships. We see it financially. We see it in retirement. We even see it in our yards. My yard does not say that I believe in works for salvation, I'll tell you that. My neighbor, on the other hand, is trying to earn his salvation in how he cares for his lawn. But we see it in every way. A poll by the National and International Religion Report found this. It said a large, overwhelming percentage of people believe that if people are generally good or do enough good things for others during their lives, they will earn a place in heaven. The Bible is telling us exactly opposite of that this morning. There is nothing you can do to earn a place in heaven. But people think that. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some folks here this morning that you actually think that you're going to earn your place in heaven. The Bible says it's not by works so that no one can boast. There is not a works component to our salvation. God already did it. God already planned for it. He already provided for it. And it was by grace. You didn't deserve it, and yet you got it anyway. There's nothing you can do to change that. That's good. And you know what I find interesting is we constantly have to be reminded of that because we get into this works mentality because we see that at work. We see that in our relationship, right? Ask your spouse if you've been working on your relationship lately and be prepared for the answer. You know, it's hit me really hard with Haley in college now is B and I were just talking about, man, we wish we had saved a whole lot more a long time ago, right? We wish we had worked for this. And then our reward is she went to college this year, and guess what? Kenzie goes next year. And we've been taking these college tours, and they're expensive. I wish I had worked a whole lot long ago to get ready for this moment. Well, I feel that works mentality even in that with my kids. I feel that works mentality even with my wife. I need to invest in our relationship. She knows if I'm distant. She knows if there's a problem. She knows if there's something wrong. But she also knows if I'm putting in my contribution to our relationship. She knows with the little notes or the flowers or the surprise dates, she knows where I'm at in our relationship because I'm working towards it. At work, we work hard, right? It's so interesting to me as we're hiring on millennials now. Somebody needs to tell them, salvation is by grace, but work is by work. They get a job and they're like, okay, I've arrived. Like, did you forget all those things you said in the interview? Like, I'm expecting all that and more. Yeah, be on time. That's an expectation. It's reasonable and you should do it. Right? But we see all these things, guys, works. But the Bible tells us your salvation is not dependent when it comes to God. There is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. So that none may boast. Why? That's interesting. So that none may boast is so that God gets all the glory, not you. This is a glory thing. God deserves the glory. He gets the glory. He gave you salvation so that he would get the glory, not you. See, if we could earn it, we might be able to say, you know, look at me. I conquered 3 Bible reading plans just this week. I'm already done with the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, and it's only October. No, there's no boasting about your relationship with God because you are saved by grace through faith, not anything you've done, so that you can't say a word except for God, thank you for saving me. So we had to spend a little time on there's no works required, but because of this salvation, there is a works element. Like, wait a minute, Chris, you're contradicting yourself. No. What I mean by that is because we are saved, now I'm going to want to do something for God. Meaning, as God has changed my life, he's come into my heart and he's done something amazing, now I'm going to want to do something for him. So for instance, I just talked about reading your Bible doesn't make you any more saved, but because I'm saved, I should read my Bible. Right? Because I'm saved, I should want to commune with him in prayer. Because I'm saved, I'm going to want to go and tell people about Jesus. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm already in verse 10. Verse 10, for his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, oftentimes people ask the question here, well, what does it mean about salvation for people who then, if it's completely grace, what about people who have known the Lord and they've walked away? Well, they're still saved. Because it's a gift, you can't lose it. Whoa, Chris, you're treading into some theological deep water here. Well, come along with me, the water's fine. What I mean is salvation is a gift. You can't earn it, therefore you can't lose it. What I mean to tell you is I am here by the grace of God, not because I had a headache yesterday, but because I was saved in October of 1998, and then I walked away from the Lord. And I've done some things outside that I would never tell you because I'd be so ashamed. But by the grace of God, he grabbed me by the coattail and he said, you better get back in church. And here I am today preaching in front of you fine folks. That's amazing. That's the grace of God. I think to myself of Jonah, right? At what point did he stop becoming a child of God? Was it when he decided to go to Tarsus? Was it when he decided to get on the boat? Was it when he decided to get down in the boat? Was it when he decided to tell him, hey, you know what? Let's just commit suicide and we'll go on our own ways. I don't want to do what God's asking me to do. In open rebellion, at what point did he stop becoming a child of God? Never, because God relentlessly pursued him the entire time. And in the belly of the fish, he finally woke up. Well, let me tell you, I've had a belly of the fish moment. I didn't lose my salvation. Now, I completely rebelled against God and I went my own way, but I didn't lose it because it was a gift. Once I received it, I didn't lose it. Now, you could ask questions. Well, how do I know if they're saved? Well, good news, you're not the judge. But what we see here as we get into verse 10 is there should be something that accompanies your faith. There should be a work that starts to happen. People should be able to tell you by your works that you're saved or not. There's a lot of people that talk about Jesus and don't do a lot of Jesus. For we are his workmanship, it says in verse 10. Do you remember Ephesians 2, 4 through 7? We had talked about we are his trophies of grace. So we're his trophies. And then in Ephesians 1, 18, it says we are his inheritance. So we're his trophies, we're his inheritance, and now the Bible is telling us we are his workmanship. See, the whole point is we work hard to obtain God, but God's working so hard to change us so that we look just like Jesus when we show up. We are his workmanship. John 17, 4 says this, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus came here to work on something. You are his workmanship. Philippians 2, 12 through 13, I love this one. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You are the work. You're the work. You're what God's doing. You are God's plan. That you would come to know him and be in a relationship with him. But you know what? We get so focused on us working to get closer to him. When the whole time God's saying, hey, I've already worked out the work. You are the work. You're it. You're what I did everything for. You're what I sent Jesus to die on the cross for. You're the one that he came for. You're the one that he died for. You're the one I'm trying to reach. You're the one that I've done everything for. You just have to receive me. And then it goes on to say, we're his workmanship in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, y'all know this one well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What I love about that is because you're in Christ, God didn't just repair the old you. You are the new you. You're in Christ. You're brand new. What that means is you can quit letting your past tell you about your future. You can quit being impacted by the things you've always done wrong. You can quit trying to look back on yesterday as if it has anything to do with your right now or your tomorrow. Because God says you are in Christ, you are brand new. I feel like that's a word for some folks. You allow that past to beat you up. I say that though because I understand that. I never thought I would be fit for anything in the kingdom of God. And yet by his grace, God uses broken vessels. One, because we have a heck of a testimony. But two, because God will use anyone for his glory. So we're his workmanship in Christ. In verse 10 it says, for good works. But again, here we go. God's talking about doing works. But you know what? Those works, they don't save you. Remember, we talked about that. Bible reading doesn't save you, but you should read your Bible. It should be the fruit of the root. I wish I had said that, but somebody way smarter than me. But all of the works that are going to come out of your relationship with God should just be the fruit of the root, which is the salvation that you've received. See, some of us beat ourselves up because we don't do as much as that person sitting next to us. We may not serve like they do. We may not know as much Bible as they do. But that's not what it's saying here. It's saying out of your love relationship with God, you should be wanting to do things. James 2:20 says this, of faith apart from works is useless. We are saved by grace through faith alone, but we shouldn't have alone faith. Meaning it's not good enough to just know God. You have to activate your faith. Imagine this, if we were all to go on a cruise. And on that cruise, the boat starts sinking. And the captain comes quickly and he says, hey guys, let's all get into the lifeboats. The lifeboats are right over there and they're gonna save you. Get in them. At some point, the belief of the lifeboat being able to save you is not enough for it to save you. You have to activate your faith and get in the lifeboat. See, and that's what the Word of God is telling us is there should be a fruit of the root. When you are truly saved, you should start doing works that declare his glory, declare who he is, give him all the praise and say, hey, I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want to tell you about him. I want to show you about him. Let me show you the Word of God. Let me. As Christians, God has prepared works for us to do. I want you to think about the person that shared their faith with you. Right now, think about that one person that dared to share the gospel with you, that got a little uncomfortable, a little palms sweaty, and they said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe it was a youth pastor. Maybe it was a parent. You know what in verse 10 it says? That those works, that person walked out, was prepared for them before the beginning of time. They fulfilled something God had already planned, and you are the fruit. And you should do the same. So there's a couple of takeaways I want you to take away with you this morning in regards to saved by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. There's nothing you can add to it. Grace is a gift. It's not a paycheck, trophy, or an award. God did it, but he's asking you to receive it. You are the work of God. You are his trophy, you are his inheritance, and you are what he is proud of most. But when we come to understand that this salvation is a gift from God, as we receive it, it should prompt us to do something. So we are called to do something in response. So I want you to grab a hold of this. You are to work out of what God is working in. God is working in you. And you are to work out of this that he has done for you. And lastly, this. If you believe it, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, if you believe that, you can receive this salvation that he wants for you. And those of us who already have, or those of us who are about to, guess what? We can rejoice in our salvation and let it shape who we are. As Christians, they should know us by our actions. I loved how Ryan put it earlier. There's one group that people can tell. They're obedient to God. They're trying to do what God wants them to do. But then the other group, you couldn't confuse them for anybody. And what are you this morning? Are you somebody that they would be able to tell the fruit of your works? Again, you don't have to earn it. But because you've received it, you're going to do it.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.